We thank you for your presence here tonight, and we recognize that we have visitors among us, and we're especially grateful that you've come to be with us tonight to worship with us and to engage in this special purpose in a few minutes in which we will be talking about and reflecting on the lives of some youth that mean a great deal to us. They've grown up among us. We've been long associated with them. We're thankful for their lives and grateful for your influence in their lives as you've come as their families tonight to be a part of this special occasion. We've been thinking about these high school graduates today. I also have thought about them in preparation of the messages for today. Been very much on my mind as I thought about the message of this morning and this evening. This morning, as we focused upon Jesus, the essential person, based on John chapter 6. And these young people have, for many years, learned that truth. And we gave consideration to that this morning and certainly want for them and pray for them that they will always think of Jesus in that way and grow to appreciate him more and more. And tonight, we think about the subject of God's Word, the Bible. And these two subjects come together in something that Jesus said about the Bible when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's Jesus speaking about the Scriptures. And our two subjects today, Jesus and God's Word. And the text for tonight also brings these two subjects together. One that is quite familiar to you, and we've spoken about it in times past, and I don't intend to repeat all that I've said about it in the past, but to introduce some further thoughts about those words of appreciation for the Bible expressed by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in a letter that he wrote to this younger colleague who had by that time associated with the apostle perhaps for 12 years or so. And encouraging him, giving him some last instructions and counsel, because Paul knew that his life was about over. And he wanted this young man to remember some things of great importance as he would go forward in life and in the service of the Lord. And some things that reach back to the beginning of his life. And Paul is speaking of that in this letter. In the first chapter, he refers to those two chief influences in Timothy's life. People in his own family, a mother and a grandmother, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, and the faith they had and how this had been encouraged in this boy as he was growing up. And it became in him too a sincere faith in God and in Christ. And they had trained him and taught him and been good examples for him. And so Paul is able to say about that some things that Timothy knew by remembrance and had appreciation for. And we're grateful that Paul said these things in this letter to Timothy, because the letter wasn't just meant for him, it's meant for the church and for all those who in every time and place learn the gospel and receive it in the obedience of faith and seek to live by it, that their faith too might be encouraged in God and Christ through God's word. So he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 14, "As for you," and that's by way of contrast with some people that Paul had just mentioned previously in that chapter, "whatever other people may do, Timothy, as for you, you abide in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you learned those things, and that from earliest childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture, inspired, God-breathed, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely to every good work." Timothy, I want you to remember what you have learned. Things learned. Of course, Paul's talking about the truths from God's word that he had been taught by this mother and this grandmother. He learned these things, and therefore he's able to recall them. The earliest memories of his childhood would cause him in reflection to think about how this mother and grandmother had led him to God's word and taught him God's word. And in these things, Timothy, who made effort to learn, whose mind had been stimulated to have an interest in these things, and who was awakened to these things daily and enlivened to think about how interesting these things are to learn and to know by these two women who loved him and cared for his life, he was given assurance about these things. And that came, too, through the kind of teaching that he received in God's word. He was led to see, the more he was led in the knowledge of God's word through the years that were so formative for his character and his conduct, that if you keep studying, keep reading God's word, questions that you have will be answered. And as we read the Bible, we do have questions. That's an experience that all of us have as Bible readers and students. And we have found by way of experience that if we keep reading and keep studying, more of our questions are answered. And that's the kind of teaching that Eunice and Lois gave Timothy. They answered his questions, and they prompted him to study as he grew older, to read and to study for himself. This is far better than simply leading a child to believe something because I feel this way about it, or I think this. Much, much better for him to be encouraged to open his Bible, to read it and to study it. Because do we not want him or her to put his or her faith in God? Not in us, but in God and in Jesus Christ. So it's much better to say, well, what does the Bible say about that? Let's look at this together and invite that child or that grandchild to hear what the Bible has to say about those questions. And that's the kind of teaching that Lois and Eunice had given. And we know that because of what Paul says to Timothy. You abide in those things. Because in what you have learned the wisdom from the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures, which leads a person forward toward Jesus Christ, to believe in him, and in him to find that salvation. The Bible is one book. And so this Bible that Lois and Eunice had, being the Old Testament, the New Testament not having yet been written, handled carefully and accurately by them, prepared this boy for the day that he would hear the gospel and be able to put his faith in Jesus Christ. For all the Bible points toward Christ. All the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in Christ. They had well prepared him for that day and for the hearing of the gospel. So Timothy, abide in that. Put your life in that. You've come to know the value of the Scriptures because of what you were trained to see and how your eyes were opened to it and how you were led through that teaching. Abide in that. Think of the Bible then as a great house made up of many rooms, fully furnished. And as you live in that house, in the Word of God, you have opportunity as you live and God gives you life and that opportunity to become acquainted with every room in that house, with all of its contents, and to know the Bible as you would come to know a house where you reside and everything in it. This is the kind of familiarity that Lois and Eunice wanted Timothy to have with God's word. And any young person is greatly blessed who's been trained to think that way about the Bible. Paul says some things quite plainly about the Bible at the end of this passage. He says it's God-breathed, that is, it's inspired. It is altogether from God. It's exactly what he wants us to be. And therefore, second, it's profitable for all those good spiritual purposes of teaching, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may keep ourselves in the right way, and the Bible will keep us in that way. And then third, it's all sufficient for a guide for life that is authorized and authoritative from heaven. We need nothing else, and there is nothing else. To add to the Bible at that level of a standard for conduct and for knowing God and following Christ would be to detract from the Bible, because nothing else is on that level. It is all sufficient. Now, not everybody you will meet in life will affirm these truths about the Bible. But what Paul knows is that if a young person is encouraged to see these facts about the Bible and to remain in the Bible, to abide in it, he will come to know the truth of these affirmations by his study and by his experience of life and living by the Bible. So I ask you tonight to reflect on your lives. You're very young. Some of us have had reason to reflect on this question, being much older, and to think about it many, many times. Who are the people who have taught you the Word of God? Appreciation is in order for those people, and it always will be. However old you may become, you want to remember those people. Maybe your parents, maybe grandparents, Bible class teachers, gospel preachers, and others that you meet along the way. And as you grow older, you will learn not only from those who are older, you will learn from your peers truths from God's Word, if they have those truths to impart, if they too have the interest in the Bible that you have had, and the day will come when you will have the experience of learning from those who are younger. And as long as you're alive to the teaching of God's Word, you'll be willing to learn from any source that can teach you the truth of the Bible. So appreciation is in order, but something else is in order as you think about those good influences of people in your lives who have sought to teach you God's Word. Evaluation is in order. God's Word is perfect, but the teaching that we hear that purports to come from the Bible and to express the Bible may not always be perfect. Human beings can make mistakes, but the Bible is perfect. And that's why it's very important that as you grow forward in life, that you let God's Word be the standard by which you examine everything that you have been taught, which claims to be God's Word. Even our Lord Jesus, who spoke by the authority of heaven, as a man on earth, would sometimes ask his audience, have you not read? Have you not read what's in the Scriptures? That is not to say that Jesus was ever imperfect in his teaching, but Jesus had the highest regard for the Bible. And if our Lord would encourage his audience in the reading of the Bible, then certainly we ourselves ought to know the wisdom of that. Whatever we may have heard, take it all to the Bible and let the Scriptures guide our thinking. Buy the truth and sell it not, said the wise man, Proverbs 23, verse 23. It is of the utmost value to know the truth and never, never let it get away from our hearts and minds. As you go through life, the Bible is a foundation upon which you can stand with assurance. You will experience disappointments in life. There will be people that will disappoint you in life, and you yourself may at times be a disappointment to others. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, said Paul. But the Bible will not err and it will not fail you because it is God's Word. At the end of this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul speaks about such disappointment, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Paul was going through the ordeal at the end of his life. He was under charges by those who were his enemies, and he was before courts. And Paul says, at my first defense, no one took my part, 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. But then he said, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, through my mouth the message might be fully proclaimed, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will stand by me, he said, and deliver me from every evil work, in order that he might bring Paul to that that eternal kingdom. Now, this confidence that Paul had is a confidence expressed throughout the Bible by those who believe in God and believe in His Word. When David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." David knew that, not only by his knowledge of the presence of God in his life as a spirit who inspired him in writing those Psalms, but he knew it by the Bible. He could read in his Bible and know the teaching of the Scriptures, how God was with Abraham through trials, how God had been with Moses through many dark valleys and his experience of serving God. And knowing that God is with his people who believe in him and seek to obey him, then Paul too could say, "The Lord stood by me. He was the one that strengthened me. And he will deliver me out of every evil work and save me to his eternal kingdom." You too can have that confidence. You can absolutely rely on that. I encourage you then, remember the truth that you have learned. Know the value of the Bible. Abide in that truth that you've learned. And let that be a foundation upon which you stand and persevere in the study of God's Word. And let it grow in your hearts. Come to know that Word as a great house and know everything in it. Let it be a place of familiarity to you because of your reading and studying of the Bible. As you read the Bible, you'll find that all of its message is leading you to Jesus Christ. I hope you believe in Him. I hope His influence in your life you've allowed to be there as an influence that indeed leads you to turn toward Him and turn away from sin, even as we prayed about tonight. And if you've not yet confessed Him before others, how joyful it would be and be to God's glory too if you would choose this very occasion to confess Christ, your faith in Christ, and by that faith in Him be baptized into Him for the cleansing of your sins by the grace of God, to be received into His house and His family. If you would respond to His gospel invitation tonight, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.